So this intro came well after the fact because the original title was Torture by Regret, which was the original title for the trade-off. But I spoke to one of the vendors that sold a lot of our DVDs, and he's like, that's not selling anything. And he was the one that came up with Sex Addict, and I ended Mandingo, and Torture by Regret became Mandingo Sex Addict.
How can you say that, Trey?
And he's like, how do I fold in Mandingo into this movie?
Yeah.
Like, so the scroll at the beginning comes in.
Personally, I don't know about the title. I mean, I'm still a Tortured by Regret person, but I mean, the title itself did help to sell a lot more.
It sold a lot more.
Than Tortured by Regret would have ever done.
Because when you look at the sales of this and the trade-offs, it's a huge difference. And I don't think there's that big of a gap between the two movies, you know? So I think the title definitely helps.
Yeah, I remember this day. There was like a sudden snowstorm in New York over the February President's Day week, and we were over here by the Verrazano. You could look off to the far left, and you could see the tail end of Coney Island and Gravesend. So this was an interesting thing, and it was funny because there were some issues of shooting the scene, and we came back the next day, and like half the snow was gone. It melted so quickly. But we wanted to do some good exteriors out here. That's the Verrazano Bridge over to Staten Island right there. And it was an interesting thing. We just pulled off the side of the highway and knocked out these scenes.
Yeah, what was interesting is that this was the original actor that played the role. It wasn't Wally. Because someone else had the role. Because we were trying to do a few different things here. I think you were going to film school. Also, we were very conscious of all the interior stuff, so we really wanted some good exterior shots, and we were looking to get actors that had like IMDb credits, because all the actors we worked with, we were their only credits, and IMDb was a big thing for us at the time. We didn't realize it didn't really mean much, but at the time, it was like, yeah, we got this actor who was in a few movies. He ended up being a real weirdo and just walked home one day and you never heard from him again.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, but this is him. This is not actually Wally, but the shot is so wide it doesn't really matter. And then we just got Wally to do the voiceover.
Right. Yeah. I wouldn't have even known. I do remember the character, the guy now that you bringing it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we should cut to another wide shot, but we actually did. We were able to get the close up, so we can.
We've done a lot of shooting over here at Dumbo. Usually not for some reason, not during the day. We always seem to be over there more at night. I've shot over there a lot, but he's a nice day shot.
Yeah, we got to Dumbo before it was renovated. When we did Satan Metal Lady / Maniac 2, and then obviously after the renovations here, where we have the park and all that stuff. But yeah, we were there before and after a lot of the renovations.
Yeah. I remember some of my early shoots over there at Dumbo where you could just go out on the street at night and there was nobody around. There were cars and set up your equipment right in the middle of everything. It was a great location. But yeah, nowadays it's all gentrified. Fancy restaurants and clubs and bars and people. So.
Yeah, a lot of young families in the day and a lot of people going out to bars and restaurants at night.
Yeah.
Definitely not someplace where you can shoot like rapes.
Like we used to. Yeah, we used to have fun over there, man. It was like a power plant. And it was like after 9/11, they blocked off.
What is this? Escape from Bloodbath Island? We start recording audio and like planes start flying overhead.
But yeah, they sectioned off the whole street by the power plant. And that street by the power plant was one of my favorite places to shoot because it was like very industrial looking and no cars ever drove down there. But they blocked it off after 9/11.
I know this is a fairy tale.
Access that street
is charming. I've come to grips with that. In fact, the only part of tall, dark.
We wanted a whole different look for you. With this movie, I still think you left that jacket in my house in a room. I think so. If it's not there now, it sat there for a good 10 years.
I don't have it, so it may very well be there.
Yeah, there were two things that you left there. It was a
skateboard from Scumbag, yeah,
and this jacket, which sat in that room seemingly forever.
None of them understand me like you do.
I hated that jacket so much until I needed it because it's really warm.
Yeah,
there's some really cold days in New York.
Other women, just for the possibility to be with me.
These were cold days shooting. We were doing all this in like it was all like February, January, February.
I watched my father beat my mother with words and fists my whole life.
some reason we always the same type of same season that we shot Lust for Vengeance and a couple of other movies right around here. The weather never really seems to prohibit us from getting out there and doing what you gotta do, but the other issue with that, of course, is the snow. And the snow was like, I guess because it was February, snow was melting very fast. So there are a couple of scenes here where we start off in snow and came back a day later, and it looked a lot different.
Yeah, but I think we definitely wanted the snow for a nice visual look.
For sure, yeah.
But you can see with these early scenes what we were very conscious of what we weren't doing. Mm-hmm. And again, it's the exterior stuffs, the nice locations in New York. We really weren't getting that. We were just shooting from room to room to room to room. Yeah. And this was one of our goals that we definitely accomplished early on in showing it. Yeah. Another movie with songs.
Yeah.
We abandoned the loops and focused more on songs. I think even though Hookers had songs, which was a couple years before the trade-off, that came well into post. The songs were never intentioned for that. It was a lot of jazz music.
Right.
I even think the first release of Hookers only had the jazz loops.
Mm-hmm.
It was only the re-release of Hookers when we got with a label instead of that thing with Amazon, Create Space.
Right.
Create Space, where you made your own DVDs, that's where we really sold a lot of Hookers. That was like a main movie that gained a profit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the re-release of Hookers where we added the music, but originally it was a trade-off that had the songs. And then we really focused on Torture, that, okay, we want songs again. We want to keep going in this direction instead of focusing on loops.
Yeah. And this, to me, in a lot of ways, is kind of like the first of the modern full-circle films that we did, in my opinion. I think that everything else leading up to that, Hookers was sort of transitional, Trade-Off sort of transitional, but I feel like this is the one where we really, like, you know, we came into this really knowing what we were going to do, and kind of followed it all the way through, and all of our shooting schedules and everything was like, a lot of the bad experiences we had in the past, we had learned fully about it by now. So we weren't going to have like mutinies on set. We weren't going to have things like that anymore by this point.
I kind of disagree. I felt the Trade-Off started it because we didn't have any mutinies on set in the Trade-Off. We had Stephanie that we wanted to rush off set,
but we've
always had actors we want to rush off set.
The only thing about Trade-Off though is I felt like a lot of that was shot with like in the house with white walls and that kind of business, where after Trade-Off, we really started mixing up different sets more and different colors, and it just became a very different look to me. That's how I see it. I mean, even though, like, for example, Ace was all shot in the same space, it doesn't seem like it by the way it was shot, and we were more cognizant of it, and my Scumbag was all outside. So, I don't know, I think that the real thing became with like Hookers, but I think with Trade-Off, I don't know if I was still there yet. I think with this one here, I was there.
I think I think it's only this one and Scumbag that we really, really went hard with the exteriors. I don't think we went hard with the exteriors with any other movies.
No, we didn't. But at least with Ace, we made it look different. And it was
that's a lot of post, though.
Yeah, posting. It was a compelling look. You know, but when you look at something like some of the early movies we did, even in post, you can use different colors for Lust for Vengeance, still the same look. You know, like this one here, we're definitely mixing it up a lot more and doing some different things. But I thought this was the first of the truly modern ones. Although, like, Trade-Off was very close. Like, it was just there's just a few things with Trade-Off where I'm like, you know, I could have done a little different with that.
They're always transition movies. For instance, like Hookers, we consider that part of the first group.
Yeah.
But it was really transitional as
absolutely.
Well.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Just like the Trade-Off is somewhat transitional, but it's also more part of this group than the other group.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. They're definitely all part of the second group or so. But I mean, really, really Trade-Off, this, Scumbag, and Ace were fully the second group. Hookers was definitely leading there. it took us away from the first group for sure. And the only reason I would you know, align that with the first group is a lot of the same actors were still there.
A lot of the same actors, and also we didn't change the themes at all.
Right.
Like, again, it's very transitional, where I first started acting, but very exploitation, and we didn't really focus on exploitation in any of these movies. Like, I kind of label Ace exploitation, but it's a film noir. It's really a drama. The original script was film noir. I mean, the only thing that makes it exploitation is the guerrilla style filmmaking. Yeah. But everything we do is guerrilla style. Mm-hmm. And like Mendigo Sex Addict sounds exploitation-ish, but again, it's tortured by regret. Mm-hmm. It's just a title change very late.
Well, see, one note on that is, I don't know if this one and Trade-Off were really like my definition of like truly guerrilla. I think that I did take time like
No, I'm saying Ace and Scumbag were guerrilla. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, we labeled Ace exploitation because of the guerrilla style, but it really wasn't.
No, absolutely. I agree with that. And this was definitely a big difference between this and like the last two, because we were really trying to set up shots, use angles, lighting. I think this was the movie I spent the most time setting up shots than any other movie we did.
And it's really weird because the antithesis of this is Ace and Scumbag that we do immediately after.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't sit in.
Exactly.
We didn't do any audio. Exactly. It's just like point and shoot type stuff.
Yeah, and those were just pure gunning. I mean, we didn't have full scripts. We were just looking to get those things out of the way as quickly as possible. Yeah, I had like a little window late in the summer, and it's like, let's just do everything we can and get it out of the way.
Yeah.
So we went into that building.
I think part of it too is that as good as Trade Off and Tortured were, which I think they really were, they took us a while.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we didn't want to spend as much time on the other two.
Wow, man. Yeah, this was like one of the first fuck scenes we did in the movie. And I'm like, wow, if we're starting with this, you know, like, where do we end up?
It's kind of weird because we did the same thing with Anna in Trade Off, where it's like, after this, where do you go? But there are some bangers after this.
Oh, sure.
In the Trade Off, Anna was definitely the best one.
Yeah.
As good as this is, you can make some arguments for the scenes to come after this.
I mean, we made sure we got ample back shots. Look at that.
It's funny, like with these group of movies, these four, it was really a lot more focused on the women in the film than the drugs they did.
I didn't realize there were a lot of drugs in this movie, though.
There aren't a lot. There's some. Yeah.
Now, is that supposed to be crack or weed?
Crack, come on. Crack right it's weed. Crack.
You never know, man.
Yeah. But I definitely think like with the first early movies, the guys mattered just as much as the girls.
Mm-hmm.
With these second group of movies, it was just like, let's just get some reliable guys that we know are good. And once we got Waliki, he was in all of them. Once we got Adonis, he was in all of them.
Right.
So we were very consistent with the guys, but because of the nature of these movies, we rotated the women. And there would always be one role that all the girls would read for, and it was this one. So if I wasn't prepared for this scene, these scenes, I don't know what I'd be prepared for. Virtually every girl that came read for this part.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like a porn strategy where you just take the same guys and just keep switching up the girls. I mean, it's true. I mean, you get a good group of guys that are reliable, can learn their lines, are dedicated, they don't give you problems. You just kind of roll with them, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, if they're actors, they can play different types of roles. But women are tough to recycle. I mean, a lot of times they do a movie and, you know, if a year or two goes by and there's another movie, a lot of times they're not acting anymore. Some of them are married, pregnant, they're on to different things. Like
a lot of times they get pregnant, find religion.
Yeah.
They get a man in their life that just completely controls every move they make.
Yeah, just different things.
Especially girls that look like this. Mm-hmm. Like a guy is either trying to seed them up as quickly as he can.
Uh-huh.
Or like control like every move they do because they're like, man, like I'm holding on to this fella.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these girls are real bangers that we mess with.
Absolutely. And their lives are usually like constantly changing. One minute they want to be an actor and the next minute they're doing something else. And then you see them online and they're in Los Angeles. And like it's tough to really nail them down for like more than one movie.
Yeah.
And the ones we probably did recycle for more than one movie were more like just the average chicks who just kind of like around the way if they came back for a second movie.
Well, I mean, we did reuse a few women, but it's usually at that point, it's usually girls that are decent actors that are reliable that kind of fall into the categories with the guys. They're not there for the sex scenes.
Right.
Like Cybele, she was in a lot of this. Yeah, she was in a few of these movies. Yeah. And then after we stopped making movies, I kept using her.
Mm-hmm.
But it's usually a situation like that where they're not there for the sex scenes anymore.
What's wrong?
The human race.
The drama of this guy.
think I'm gonna be sick. He's very dramatic.
Struggling 6 a.m. thinking.
I don't know where I got this poem from, but we had a lot of good shots here that didn't involve actors. I didn't want to waste it. And I just got this poem. I just thought it was a good fit.
Coney Island in the winter.
Yeah.
Goldfish and all.
I'm going out there.
Now to come back to you with fresh eyes.
There's a lot of good establishing shots. I'm like, where am I going to use this? And I was like, let me just add a little bit more of like this guy's angst. And
I remember this melodrama. Day was cold as hell.
Every moment, every long, lilting moment, when the air between us was forced to move back.
I don't know where we would have used this scene. I think we just went there and just like, yeah. We're looking for pickup shots. Yeah.
I don't remember us going to Central Park.
I do, because there was a lot of stuff I did after I came back
from
Central Park, because I was like, man, I got to get back to the crib to do this and that.
Right.
And I remember us being out there, but again, I think in post, like I found a reason to use this footage, but I don't know what I would have used the footage for.
If where was this crazy?
I don't know. It's around by, wasn't on the way to Coney Island or something?
Bringing back a lot of...
not Coney Island. Tilden Parker.
Oh, over there?
Yeah.
Oh, over that one.
I think so.
They have that big one in the middle of Brooklyn?
I think so. Okay. I think it was on that on the way there.
Okay. Interesting. I don't remember that. I don't remember there being a graveyard scene in this movie.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
But again, I don't know what we would have used that footage for if I didn't use it for that montage. But it was good to get the exteriors. So again, I don't know why we didn't put Walik in this movie, because he was so good for us in The Trade-Off.
Right.
But again, we wanted to get someone with some name. There weren't a lot of characters in the movie, so we were like, all right, we'll move on from Walik and use this other guy.
Yeah.
The other guy flaked out, and I think even my cousin, who was my roommate at the time, was saying the guy was doing like a lot of weird stuff when we had our backs turned. I didn't notice any of it. But evidently, he's had a lot of weird behavior. And
was this, just this guy was who?
The original guy that was playing this part.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But yeah, like Walik was like, yeah, I'll do it. Like, we went to his place. I think it was either his place or a friend of his place where we shot the scene with Crystal.
That was his place. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, man. After the chemistry you and Walik had in Trade-Off, we should just
went straight to him. Yeah. I think we even said that. Like, why didn't we go with him in the first place? Yeah. He was so good in this.
Right.
I think I pigeonholed him. I didn't think he had much range, as good as he was, but he clearly did.
We should have discussed fast tracked right into that next one.
Yeah.
But what do you know? I mean, you live and you learn.
Yeah, we didn't hesitate to put him in the other two.
Yeah. I mean, really, there was always that little piece of the movie where it's just you and him having these issues and differences and contrast. And that's what made these last four movies so fun. It's always you with this impulsive character, whether you're driven by drugs or hustling or sex or whatever it is, and he's kind of playing that other side.
Yeah.
But he can also be corruptible.
He can. Yeah.
Which is what makes the movies work.
Yeah. There's a lot of contrast and trauma that these scenes with him have.
Yeah. I mean, his fall from grace and Trade-Off was really, in some ways, the movie. Not to take away your blistering performance, but that was the big thing at the end.
We all have issues. Even I have issues.
I think it was a little bit of a role reversal after Trade-Off, and that I was a character that would more lose it, and he was a little bit more straight-laced after The Trade-Off.
And as we can see here in your old apartment, different color walls. That used to be white. For several movies, that was white. Here we have different colors.
Well, it really saved us with Hooker's and Revolt, because there were a ton of close-up with white walls, or there were like scenes where like it was shot on five different days.
Yeah.
So that helped. But yeah, after that, we definitely decided it was a different look, and all the walls were painted different colors.
Yeah. How you doing?
Is Tracy here?
He's in the back room throwing himself a pity party. But listen, chick, he's my best friend. He tells me everything.
Is that
so? I don't remember. Was there a lot of thought into like which actress would play what part? Did we even, was that even a big debate at all?
Not really. You know, I think a lot of it just came down to who we thought would be more reliable to do more scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it really, by the time we got to this point in movie making, a lot of it was that. It was just like, who seems to be more dedicated? Who seems to be more reliable? I don't think it was a lot given into like who does what in terms of how they look and anything along those lines, but it was just a lot of like reliability issues because we just didn't want people to do a scene and walk.
Go away.
And then also the thought of like if we ever had to do a reshoot, would they be willing to come back?
Mm-hmm.
The little things like that, I think I remember that being a lot of the conversation.
Yeah. Because like I look back at some of these movies, like with Hookers that we did recently and The Trade-Off, and I'm thinking like, what was our thought process and who played what particular role?
Yeah.
Because I don't have a lot of like memory of like debating like who should play what role.
I just remember a lot of conversations between me and you, like who's more reliable, who's somebody we can count on to get this done. Mm-hmm. And I think with Catalina, we felt like she would stick around for the duration of the movie because we couldn't really get all her stuff in one day.
No, we couldn't.
You know, so with other actresses, we just didn't know. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we're not going to rely on somebody who, I mean, like, for instance, Crystal Bates may have, but we at the time...
Crystal... I remember that role was good for Crystal because she was having a... Even with that small role, she was super nervous.
Right.
She really wanted to do a good job, and she was really nervous. And so I think that was... She did. She did a great
really,
job.
Really good job.
But I remember, like, thinking like she couldn't take on a bigger role than that, right, even if we wanted her
to. Yeah, so that again, yeah, right back to the same thing of just reliability and who we can depend on to do things. Mm-hmm. We don't want to give somebody too much.
Yeah, I definitely know Kit was right for her part because she had the fake tits. You can't pretend like she doesn't have fake tits. Mm-hmm. So her playing the hooker was a good fit.
Right.
I know the white girl in this. I think she was a good fit for that because she came on late in the project. I didn't even know she would show up.
Right.
So, I mean, if I thought she could play a bigger role, I would have given her the lead.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Catalina, that makes sense because we did date for a while, so she was definitely going to stick around.
Yeah. That was a big piece of it.
I'm sorry.
It's a very different look to your house, too.
Yeah. And there's a lot of shadows and stuff like that, which is not something we really did a lot. It's just like blasting light, you know?
This was different for sure.
Yeah,
because all these scenes took a long time for me to set up, which was different from a lot of other movies where, you're right, we just put on the lights and went. Here it's like every little shot, even like this, I had to set it up. I had to use the shutters on the lights, and there's a whole thing going on.
Yeah,
and it's real. It just feels like
that's the Jerry Falwell picture in the background that you got especially for this movie.
Yeah, I think you suggested it.
Yeah.
Or I wouldn't have gotten it otherwise.
Yeah, no, we wanted that in there.
Yeah.
We needed a charlatan in the movie. it's little things we've done in the background that people may not even understand, but we it was intentional.
Yeah, we definitely, we spent a lot more on this movie than any other movie, but also like, we were very conscious of that, like wardrobe and makeup and a bunch of stuff. Like, even though Crystal did her own makeup, I did solicit someone to do the makeup.
Yeah.
And in one of the behind the scenes videos, you could see we're just like waiting around for the makeup person who just didn't show up.
Yeah.
So there was definitely an effort with like costumes and props and things like that to like add to the production value.
Yeah, that's why I said like for this movie, we really did all those little things that we hadn't done before. So we had better makeup and like letters and stuff like that. You know, it could have saved a few people.
Yeah.
This was good. I mean, you know, in the sense that we put in that effort to every little thing.
Yeah, The Hookers was the previous film we did commentary for. And I had noted that like it felt like a real movie more than any other movie we did.
Yep.
And I still believe that structure wise and everything. But this has a look more like a real movie than what we ever did, as far as with the cinematography, the props, things like that.
Yeah, for sure. Man, you get on about it day, bro. A non-version should never be this excited.
And this is still Waleed's place, I believe.
We should not consolidate our relationship. We'll be making love.
We are in love. We really tried to dress you up as the biggest geek we could find.
Cosby sweaters.
So part of it too with this story is this was on the heels of like the Tiger Woods scandal.
Yeah.
So you know, I don't know how much of that directly influenced the script or not, but I know that like some of his character, his look, his style definitely came from the Tiger Woods, who just couldn't be, who at the time was on the cover of every New York newspaper every day. You were just going around and banging tons of thoughts. We wanted to bring some of that in.
Yeah, I think like the original production with the main cast, I don't know if it was a huge influence. I think you would watch some MTV thing or something with some guy who was acting similar to the Tracy character, and I think you had said, hey, this would be a great idea, and I was hesitant to do it because we had just done a drama, and I'm like, another drama, let's get back into like the exploitation, the action, stuff like that. I wasn't enthused about doing a drama. So I remember you talking me into this. I don't know how you talked me into this, because like I remember I didn't want to do another drama, but I remember like you had, it was your idea for the concept of the character to have the movie based around. I think later in production is when Tiger Woods was more of an influence. And then I even bought like the Nike cap and the red shirt and things like that. And we had the white girl that he loves, bring that white girl in the scene. So, but yeah, I don't know how you talked me into this, because I really didn't want to do another drama after Trade-Off. Because this is a straight drama.
Yeah,
I wanted more action, exploitation. I wanted to get back to our roots. But yeah, somehow you talked me into this. I don't know what was your inspiration or how that conversation played out.
Right.
I just remember like this was more your idea to do another drama.
Yeah, there was like a pharmacy right by my house. And I walked in and I remember I was like buying something. I was waiting in line and there was like a magazine and it had a picture of like Britney Spears on the cover, like crying. And it said tortured by regret.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was my inspiration for it. I'm like, she was just like in tears. Like,
But tortured by regret, that was the original title for the Trade-Off though.
Yeah, well, it was, but I remember. I remember that was what I wanted to use to do a drama of some sort. Regardless of what the title was,
okay,
that was what my inspiration started with. Whether this is bled over to Fandango.
Okay.
He did a lot of kisses in this movie, for sure.
Yeah.
So he doesn't want to bang her because he wants to be moral. He'll go around and he'll lay pipe on anything else he can find.
Yeah, usually women are like this, you know.
Yeah.
They make the person they love wait around and then they just bang all the other dudes.
Mm-hmm. Come up with some excuse for it.
Yeah. Role reversal here.
See something you like?
Wow. You look beautiful.
Yeah, I remember this day. This was getting to the... This is getting tough because you and her were having some issues.
We were having a lover's tryst.
Yeah, and it was definitely moving itself onto the set.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to myself, like, oh my God, please can we get through this fucking movie without a full-scale breakup?
Yeah, well, with this, of the softcore movies we've done, this felt the least like, okay, here comes a girl, a few scenes, a sex scene. Like a scumbag ace definitely felt like that a lot. Trade-Off a little bit, but this really felt like all the sex scenes came naturally.
Yeah,
like this guy's just getting out of control, like he can't control himself, he just has these urges. They don't feel forced. With Ace, it's clear, like it was written for one female role and we just broke it up into five.
Yeah.
Scumbag, it was just like, here's a girl, few drug scenes, few scams, fuck her, next girl. This has a flow to it. I think Trade-Off kind of had a little bit of a flow to it as well. But this one feels more organic with the five sex scenes. Especially since he has this one that's being strung along too.
Well, the Trade-Off character was a pretty hardcore dude. I mean, he was hard. He really was mentally, like, he didn't give a fuck.
No, he didn't.
You know, where this guy here, on some level, like, he's emotional and he's caring and he's twisted as hell too, but there's something there.
Yeah.
Whereas the Trade-Off guy was like ruthless.
Yeah, Trade-Off, like, the scene with Anna made sense because it was part of the plot. The scene with his wife made sense. But the scene with the boss's wife, it's like, wait, what just happened here? Why are they banging? Did they just hate each other? I guess maybe the scene with the threesome made some sense, but the very last scene made no sense either. Just like, All right, movie's done. Another sex scene? Just before the end credits?
Gratuitous nudity.
Yeah.
Gratuitous sex.
But all five of these, I think, like, they fit well with the movie. I think this is where dude left. Because, like, he was in the living room while we were shooting this. We came out into the living room and he left.
He just left and disappeared.
Never heard from him again. Yeah.
He must have had some issues.
Clearly. This girl came through at the last minute. Because I remember, like, we didn't have anyone cast in that role.
Uh-huh.
And she came to literally audition. And it was like, part's yours, let's shoot. If she didn't show up, we wouldn't have had anyone for that role.
Yeah. I remember this guy.
Kid the Diva. She's another one that disappeared.
We did a podcast with her.
Yeah, we did a podcast with a lot of these girls.
I liked her.
Yeah, she was cool.
She was very forthcoming with it. She spoke the truth to a lot of things that people lie about.
Yeah. Well, she's a little bit older than a lot of the girls we worked with at the time. I think she would be the only one that was older than us at the time we were shooting. So she had a little bit of wisdom. And she'd been around the block a little bit.
Yeah, the thing I liked about her was when we did the podcast, like, she was pretty honest about, like, stripping and hoeing, and, like, she gave some real numbers where a lot of other women, well, yeah, I make like $10,000 a day and all this other shit.
Yeah, I don't get out of bed for less than 10 grand.
Yeah, she was really straightforward and honest about the lifestyle.
Yeah. Don't you find me attractive?
Believe me, I do. It's not you.
He's being seduced here.
I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know why I'm doing this.
This is why we call it tortured by regret, I guess.
Every scene he's tortured.
Yeah.
And I fall in love with someone else who runs away from things.
And the regrets are just building up and building up and building up.
Yeah.
My heart dropped to my stomach. I just don't want to be alone, that's all. I'm sorry. I can't do this.
It's been a while since I've seen this, but I kind of lump this and Trade-Off together a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of difference between this and Trade-Off.
Oh, big time.
This is very much this mm-hmm. character. The Trade-Off was more of an ensemble with all four of the main characters.
Oh, yeah.
There's really no other side character in this. Mm-hmm. He's in every scene, I believe.
Yeah.
Except for maybe a few seconds here and there. He's mm-hmm. kind of in every scene.
Yeah.
That's not the case with the Trade-Off.
Mm-hmm.
And the Trade-Off, I think, was more plot-oriented a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a straight character study.
Yeah. No, this is a very different movie.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very different.
Yeah, I guess I just viewed them because they're both dramas and we shot them back to back, that they were more similar in my mind to each other.
Yeah.
But having watched them within a short period of time with each other, they're very different.
They are, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm the same way. I always kind of lump those together.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're very different. And that's why even before we started doing this, I was like, look, how long was it between them? What went on between them? Because it's kind of significant in terms of how they look, how they were shot, the dialogue, the characters. It's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said this is kind of, to me, one of the first truly 100% modern one.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, Trade-Off may have been like 90% there.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I think, was there.
This is something I'm going to say I didn't think I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I like the Trade-Off more than this.
Yeah?
Because, yeah. Like, this has the Trade-Off on a few things.
Mm-hmm.
This has better looking women.
Mm-hmm.
The Trade-Off has some bangers, but these women are definitely a higher breed.
Mm-hmm.
This looks better.
Mm-hmm.
It has more exterior locations. The mm-hmm. cinematography is great. I like the shadows. But I like the story and the flow of the Trade-Off more than this. This is all character study and all, like, following this guy's descent.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Trade-Off had more twists and turns and, like, mm-hmm. where is this character going? Like, how is this going to end up? Like, a little bit more twists and turns.
Uh-huh.
There's not a lot of twists and turns in this.
That's pretty straight.
But if you're into the sex, and yeah, I think this is definitely like the better of the softcore movies as far as the sex stuff goes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure.
I think it has the hotter of the four movies. I think this has the hottest woman.
Yeah.
This was the that extra guy, the ex's Hollywood extra guy or something.
Pat O'Brien.
Yeah.
We had to get this in there. He's losing his mind at this point.
Yeah. I think I did one of these for Ace too. We just never shot it with the Mel Gibson one.
Oh yeah.
And I was doing it towards the Shamash character. Mm-hmm. Fucking fat piece of shit. Was it Mel Gibson or was it the yeah, it was Mel Gibson.
Yeah, it's Mel Gibson. Well, it could have been Alec Baldwin.
No, Alec Baldwin's in this.
Oh, okay, Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
What was the Mel Gibson one? I thought the Alec Baldwin was a you little piece of shit.
Yes. Yeah, that's in this.
That's Alec Baldwin.
Yes.
And what would the Mel Gibson one have been?
I hope you get raped by a bunch of niggers.
Yeah. Okay, that one there, yeah. I just there's several. So yeah. I didn't know which one.
I wrote one for Ace, we just never shot it.
Okay.
And it was about the Shamash because like
oh,
yeah,
man.
She abandoned me.
We should have shot that. We should have shot it.
Okay. Get back to me.
Maybe one day we'll still get that in somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to tell you something, okay? And I want to leave this.
This is the Alec Baldwin one.
Because it's 10:30, and once again, I.
So he's trying to call the Academy the character.
No, Crystal Bates.
Goddamn voicemail. I want you to know something, okay? I'm tired of playing this game with you. I'm leaving you this message because I want you to know that you have insulted me for the last time. You want to know
this guy has some serious issues.
He starts off, you kind of feel for him a little bit, but he just goes off the deep end.
I don't think there's a pattern to the characters I write for myself, but there is a pattern when you look at these movies, a subconscious pattern. Of like how these things play out.
Deeply flawed people.
Deeply flawed. That you're conflicted on like, is this person a piece of shit? Or should I root for them? They're always being, you know, insulted and talked down to.
Hello, Monet?
Yo.
Hey, what's up, man?
And this is probably like the kind of guy she'd be with too.
Exactly. Crayon Jackson.
Let me tell you something. I only speak once, so you better be listening. If you hang that phone up on me, yo, don't come over to that crib. I'm gonna murder your ass, man. Billy Dawes? And nigga, what the fuck kind of name is Tracy anyway for a nigga? Nigga, Tracy's nigga, you a bitch ass nigga. You feel me, son?
I think this is the first movie we shot with him, even though the trade off is older.
Yeah.
Because it was a reshoot for him to get into the trade off. This is the first time we worked with him. He wasn't in Scumbag, though. That was the only one of the later movies he wasn't in.
Okay.
But I worked with him later on after that. But of the four soft movies, he wasn't in Scumbag.
Yeah.
He would have been a good fit for that. I'm not sure why we didn't use him.
The Scumbag?
Yeah. He could be a drug dealer I robbed or
anybody
chasing me down.
I'm only gonna tell you this one time. One time only. You call my bitch again. You send her one more motherfucking text message or voicemail message. And son, I swear to everything I fucking love, Dawes. I'm coming to your crib while you're sleeping. I'm grabbing you out the bed, dragging you down the street, and I'm ripping your motherfucking ass, Dawes. You feel what I'm saying?
And this is similar to like an Ace Jackson kind of movie where this guy's just like gonna get his ass kicked.
Yeah.
He's done enough.
So it was a character in over their head.
Mm-hmm.
Morally ambiguous.
Yeah, can't keep their dick out of the holes.
No, can't keep their dick out of the
holes. But usually we don't have the boyfriend catching up with them. Like usually there's other people catching up with
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
But this is one of the few cases where like the infidelity and the cheating comes into play.
Yeah, yeah. This was another late addition to the film. And I'd end up working with her a lot soon after this.
Okay.
one of the rare girls that I don't have sex with.
She's just another girl.
That's what I'm saying. One of the rare girls he doesn't bang.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know why we think we needed it.
He just did. What's wrong with it? Deal with that.
Yeah.
But now he's going Tiger Woods.
This is the Tiger Woods stuff here. The hot brunette, muscly chick. Just Tiger Woods type.
Yep.
Got the hat, the red shirt. Yeah, this might be the hottest girl we ever shot with. If not, she's right up there.
Blaine was on the dance floor just to impress those skanks.
Come on, Malaysia. Why are these skanks? Because they let us tone them down?
Yeah.
Okay, so what does that make you then, grinding on that guy with the cherry curl? Look, like he just stepped out of the 80s.
Hold on.
Okay, maybe this scene feels a little forced. There's this random super hot girl he's only friends with that they're going to have a sex scene with.
Yeah. And she's drunk, so I guess in the Me Too era, this is just a straight up rape.
Yeah, it is.
Can't do this anymore.
Well, so am I. Yeah, we should.
I'm joking.
All right. It's about to happen.
Let's have a toast. I know that I'm a fucking jerk that nobody likes.
No. You are.
Shut up, woman. A man is talking.
We don't typically have a lot of drinking in our movies either. We usually just go straight for the hard drugs.
Yeah. I think Ace had a flask, but that was more for the look of it. But yeah, there's not a lot of drinking in the movies.
Alcohol's never our thing.
No. And playing drunk in a movie is kind of always weird.
Yeah.
I hardly see a lot of people play drunk well, except if you're like Nicolas Cage and Leaving Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's out of the picture. So let's see what happens next.
Oh boy. This is a wild scene.
You know what? I think he's fine. I'm not sure we should be doing this. We're friends.
He's not sure.
I think he's pretty sure.
Oh my goodness. That didn't take much convincing.
No, it didn't.
All right. Let's head right back to the bedroom.
This head was he hills.
Oh my god. And the funny thing was, like, well, wait, when a lot of these things were going on, I don't know if he had any clue. So, like,
I think he had a clue after the movies came out.
Of course, after.
I don't like. Was he couldn't have been in the room while we were shooting the scene with Tristan, in his living room.
Where would he have gone?
I think he went to his apartment.
Yeah, I don't think he. I think he went outside or he went somewhere. I don't think he was around when that happened.
Yeah,
I don't remember him being.
I couldn't imagine him being. Or there was his apartment.
Or there was like another room somewhere, and he was over there with like headphones. But he really wasn't like paying much attention to that at all. Yeah. I don't think he was anywhere involved with any of this.
No.
Probably after he shot the movie. Whoa.
this is the movie I was in?
Yeah. Well, maybe since he had been with us for trade, I don't know if Trade Off was ended yet, but if it was, and he saw a Trade Off, he would have known.
I don't think any of these movies came out until we shot all four.
Oh, boy. Looks so real, man. It's like, I'm telling you, that kid.
Looks.
Yeah. Real.
Stop right there and move on.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Damn right, he's exhausted. This guy's been through a lot.
Yeah.
Definitely an increasing amount of cell phone use in movies.
Yeah, yeah. No more cordless phones and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Well, just as I said, that,
that's a cordless phone. Less and less.
Yeah.
I must not have heard your calls over the loud music.
How is Malaysia anyway? I haven't seen her since the last party she threw.
No, she's doing good. She's doing great.
Are you
that's
okay?
For sure.
Yeah.
You don't sound too good.
I'm just.
And this girl's still sticking in there with him, and still somewhat believing all this shit.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, what I wanted to tell you is that I know that you would never do anything to intentionally hurt me, and I fully trust you, and I love you.
She doesn't know who she's trusting.
If there's something you need to tell me, anything, we can talk it out. So
is she baiting you, or is this does she really believe this?
Yeah.
Is there anything else you need to know?
Yeah. Tracy?
Jesus is Lord. I didn't realize I zoomed in on that.
Just say it.
No, you know everything.
Oh, good. You had me worried there for a minute. So,
I think we discussed that too. That like some of like the most scumbag people are religious because they need that like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're always in that kind of like fallen state kind of thing going on of like I need redemption, I need forgiveness.
Yeah.
So you get that.
Are you okay, Tracy?
I feel sick. I think I'm dying. Call me an ambulance.
Oh my God, I wish you could do.
He's all right. I've never heard of anyone dying of guilt.
It's a good line.
I'm not enjoying the view. But why are you in your underwear? What happened last night?
I don't know who I am anymore. What am I going to do now?
We haven't come clean or what?
This is Prospect Park, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because we, me and Wally did a scene at Prospect Park in Trade Off, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Back to the floor.
No.
Talking about relationships.
The Bible says.
I probably have on the harness and I'm walking while we're shooting.
I'm pretty sure you have on the harness.
You Fox News watch it. Conservative, Christian, right wing, Republican.
Oh, that's right. He was like a right winger in the movie, too.
Yeah.
That's what it was. You wanted him to be like a real conservative.
We wanted him to be a religious conservative.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. Now
that's part of the conflict.
That's part of it, too. Yeah.
But you just can't lie about it.
It's part of the religious right.
I realize
pre Trump.
Yeah.
And I try to fight it, but my demons, they just keep taking control of me.
So yeah, I mean, next movie just needs to have you like a MAGA hat. Go all the way with it.
Have that full
conversion. Yeah, we always wanted to do things that just made our characters different and like in some cases, like, not even very likable. Because, like, in a movie like this, having a religious right guy, dude, this is like, who's going to like that? The religious right are going to see him balling right. all these chicks and say, oh, that's corrupt. And that's, you know, sacrilegious. And then other people are going to look at the fact that he's a religious right and you're more liberal and not going to like him either. So he's already in a bind. His likability is going to be very low with a lot of people.
Yeah.
First, get a hold of yourself. Stop spazzing monkey balls.
I think, like,
the only thing that this girl deserves,
maybe Hook, House of the Damned is the only one where you can find characters that you may like.
Because,
like, even the likable characters in some of these movies, like, they're very conflicting. They do things, it's like,
that is the right thing. Some of the people that you may want to like in the beginning, by the end, you hate their guts.
Yeah.
And people who are, like, assholes through the whole movie. Sometimes have a little bit of redemption.
Yeah.
Not to the point where they're likable, but they're probably not as bad as you thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's real people. We always want, I mean, I think we always went into filmmaking that way. It's like, just present people how they are, as opposed to trying to make them like too good or too bad.
Mm-hmm.
People have a lot of flaws.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I?
This guy has so much self-reflection.
He
just spends his life making bad decisions and like just trying to recover from them.
Yeah. This is our first time shooting in Times Square too.
Yeah.
We
made a conscious effort to do stuff like this.
Yeah, I mean, as funny as like as New Yorkers who shot everything in New York, it's like we just never.
We shot everything in New York in rooms,
yeah,
with white walls.
Yeah, and never really much in Manhattan. We really didn't get much to Manhattan. We got to the Bronx maybe once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
We ever shot in Queens?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very conflicting, like, when I think of, like, what are my favorite movies of, like, the two different eras we did.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, it's always, like, with this one movie where we really went really hard on these elements and these others. Like,
mm-hmm.
like from, like, story-wise, like, I love Hookers, I love Trade-Off. But this one, we really gave a much better effort
mm-hmm.
with the filmmaking.
There you go, provoking me again, you little fucking cunt!
You're out,
Wolf! Why? Because I hit you, admit it. You love when I hit you. Because it shows you how much I really love you.
Get out of all the cops!
You ain't calling nobody.
I scream, the neighbors will hear you.
Bitch, you're gonna make me really fucking mad.
What was this influence from, like, Wonderland or something? Yeah. Was there a character in there?
Yeah. It's the John Holmes character from Wonderland.
Okay.
Just all over the place in his life.
Wish she had a hero to come in and save her.
Calm down. Just calm down. Okay? Just calm down. Just take it easy. Just relax. Just the way you like it.
Talk about abusive. The thing about the Wolf character is he's not even from this movie. He's more from like Ace Scumbag. He's coming from a whole other movie. It's funny. I mean, most of the characters in this movie seem somewhat normal or balanced or just regular.
Yeah.
But this guy's wild. This is wild.
What you made me do? Why you keep pissing me off like this? You know what? Pack your shit. Let's get the fuck out of here now.
He's saying, let's get out of here. And it's probably your house, right?
Yes.
Dear God.
I don't need that fucking shit. Fucking psycho whore.
Can Got the job in his pants there. I like the way she looks. She looks for her purse before she goes to him.
I don't know.
She's like, oh, you.
Oh my god. The morality of people in these movies.
Yeah, or lack thereof, I guess.
That was just a wild scene.
Oh, there's something in the trees.
This would get us canceled too.
Mm-hmm.
Like a woman having sex with a guy after she was almost raped by another guy.
You even think of it like that. It's just a full circle movie. Like, I can't even follow it from point A to point B. And like, you know. Yeah, I was just happy to get this scene done.
Mm-hmm.
Because like, she was really on the edge by now.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this ongoing little small argument.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, Sean, can you just hold it together? I don't know what you guys were fighting about, but it was just stuff.
Yeah.
And I really thought this scene would be like, you know, would be good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, let's not mess that up.
Yeah.
You finally got that.
I married Felicia.
Not.
He's reformed.
Oh,
clearly.
Yeah. Oh, sure. He has to bang some of the chicken. He has to do something to screw that up. That won't last.
I feel like I'm kicking you out.
Hopefully, it makes sense that you have this, but what am I going to be doing with all this fake anyway? Just don't wait too long to start making me some nieces and nephews, because I plan on being Aunt Candace.
Don't hold your breath. We got a lot of living to do before we can get to kids.
So when's he moving in?
You know what's weird? It's like she was the only person I gave a budget to for wardrobe in any of our movies.
Yeah.
And she bought a bunch of shit I didn't even like at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I just gave her the money and had her and my sister go.
Mm-hmm.
So we could focus on some other stuff. And she came back with some of the blackest shit.
Mm-hmm.
It made me think like, geez, like of all the times that I like focus on wardrobe and like some of the stuff she's wearing is just like, yeah, super regular. When you think about like other movies like Hookers in the Vault, which is I didn't even ask them about wardrobe and how they showed up, you know.
But yeah, actors in like Hookers in the Vault, like Nefer, they were really into fashion. She was like, I think she was going to Pratt or something at the
time.
She
was in Pratt.
She was really into that.
Yeah.
This, you've been out of it this whole day.
Again, we really did a good job with the locations in this movie.
Yeah, it's Coney Island. It's the pure Coney Island.
Hey, man.
Yeah, I'm conflicted because I like the story of the trade-off more, but I like the girls and the look of this movie more as far as the locations, cinematography, props.
This was a grind. We did a lot of different locations, and shots like this are hard to do because like it's probably in the middle of the winter. We're out on the water. The wind is blowing hard. We had to have that big fuzzy thing on the boat. It was a lot.
I remember I was walking around those shoes. And I don't know why, because you don't see my feet.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember I almost fell like several times.
Yeah.
Not, I don't think on this day,
mm-hmm.
but the first day we shot these scenes with the other actor.
Mm-hmm.
Because we went out to Coney Island twice with the other actor and with Waleek.
Right.
I remember with the other actor, it was like a little snowy. I almost fell a couple of times.
Yeah.
Like walking with the equipment, with
yeah.
their shoes on.
Yeah, these were long days because
yeah.
a lot of those exteriors we did on like the southern tip of Brooklyn. Like
mm-hmm.
we started in the morning and we went for a long time. It was cold.
Yeah.
And like no. I was trying to be as think meticulous as possible in the shooting, so every scene we did, I was like really trying to set it up, angle it, do things the
not
best that I could. It was tedious.
Yeah.
Come on, homie.
I guess the yang of that is that we were just like, after investing all this time, we're like, fuck it, these next two movies, let's just run and gun.
right. Well, those happened a lot later as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like the way I always look at cinematography, it's almost just like lifting weights. Like if you do it a lot,
mm-hmm.
your muscles develop and you look chiseled. But once you stop doing it for like a year or two,
mm-hmm.
it's like you just, there's just a lot of like regression and little things like camera shadows and continuity and things like that. You're just not as sharp as you'd like to be.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, I remember picking up the camera for Ace after this, and it's probably a 2-year span. And I'm like, whoa, like it's like I'm starting all over again. How do I turn this camera on?
Yeah.
It's like that.
But it also, like, it makes you realize, like, every movie that we do, it's there's a direct correlation with the movie we did prior.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no movies in limbo. Like, there's a direct reason, like, certain things happen in one movie because of what happened in the previous movie.
Yeah. And then for these movies, it's like, it may take us, like, 7 or 8 months to cast and shoot it, to write it and everything, like, well, to cast it, to write it, to bring it together.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you spend all those months trying to put the movie together, and the shooting itself may take a week or two. So in reality, in most years, you may be spending a week or two on set.
Mm-hmm.
If you are shooting, maybe 4 weeks if it's a busy year.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a lot of time not shooting. And if you're not actively using the camera and the lights and shooting a lot, it's just, you know, you're losing that muscle memory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what I learned in doing this. It's like, it's just not, once I had gone to film school and I had, you know, refined myself to a certain point,
mm-hmm.
having not done it for like 2 years and going back to it, I was like, wow, man, that's a lot of stuff I don't feel that confident about anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But here I was probably as confident as I would ever be.
Mm-hmm.
Ace and Scumbag, the reason why I wanted to shoot it that way is like, let's just gun it.
Yeah, like, whatever, let's just finish it.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever it is, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything's
great. Well, I mean, you look at the through line of all these movies, House of the Dam, it's like something super simple in a house, let's just get it done. But then we really wanted to get into the exploitation film stuff with the next film. We got They Almost Die. There's like, hey, let's get into the drugs and the sex more with Lust for Vengeance. But then we kind of regressed and like the story went nowhere.
Right.
And then Hookers in Revolt, it's like, all right, we got better looking girls because we weren't happy with the girls in Lust.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a much better story that flowed better.
Right.
Then we had a bunch of unfinished movies. And it's like, all right, then I'll just be the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Trade-Off.
Right.
Trade-Off was great. We have 5 sex scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do another movie with 5 sex scenes, mm-hmm. even better girls. But let's give more effort with the locations and stuff like this. And this was a response to that.
Right.
And then after this took us so long. It's like, all right, let's just get the hot girls, but let's just move quicker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then that Ace and Scumbag were a direct response to that. So there is like rationale for like every movie we did,
mm-hmm.
based on the previous movie we shot.
Mm-hmm. Well, we could get probably
there's not. Always some way to like get him out the picture.
Yeah,
it's almost like Clark Kent trying to get out the picture before Superman shows up.
Oh my god,
oh, Troy, you gotta check this out. No, thanks. I think I'll pass and whatever.
That should be like a running gag, like trying to figure out how, the different creative ways we get Wally out the picture before sex scenes.
Oh my god. He's the one who's the protagonist. Then after the scene, he probably had regrets too.
So what you buy a regret could be the is how the actors felt too, you know, not just the characters.
Oh my god.
But yeah, there were a lot of girls cast for this scene. For this and the two lesbians in the Trade-Off, it's like a rotation of girls that were casting these roles until we actually shot the stuff.
Straight up 1970s level wars. It's pretty wild. You definitely don't get this in most movies.
No, you don't. At least most non-porn movies.
just moving around with it here. Dear God, man. Debauchery.
Yeah, it's pretty wild stuff, man. Pretty wild stuff.
This poor girl's over here wondering what the hell's going on. Oh my goodness. The old cell phone rings.
Hello?
This is a big moment into the movie.
I didn't realize I did. Some of these shots, I didn't realize we did. Or I did or
yeah. Like he was supposed to be some kind of religious guy, too.
No, just the timing of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm too emotionally drained right
when
now.
When these shots come into play.
Mm-hmm.
To be angry and yell at you. I love you too much to tell you that I hate you. Please believe that.
So is the marriage still on? What are we doing here? Don't tell me the marriage is off.
Stand by your man, girl.
I can't take part in this part of the suffering anymore. I trusted you with my heart and you broke.
So does she know he cheated? What is she upset about? I don't get it.
I don't know.
I genuinely don't know. Like, did she find out? Like, did Wally threaten
her? Oh, he missed the wedding.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think that was it.
The wedding.
I think that was it.
I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, yeah. Because he got high and drunk and had the orgy.
Oh, my goodness. Is there going to be any forgiveness for him? Will God even forgive him?
God always forgives. That's why these people are religious.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize he forgot the wedding. That's bad.
I remembered when he woke up. Oh man, this took a lot of energy out of me.
I'm sure.
It's similar to the AC.
Right.
It's a lot of parallels with these characters, man. A lot.
That one. We pretty much, the way it looks, we just like left it there and shot AC.
You're right. We didn't know they're cleaning up.
Yeah. Leave it that way.
All right, take off the glasses and the sweater.
Yeah. A year later.
Put on the fedora and like you know.
A year later, we just shot Ace and left it that way. Oh my God. After you did that to the room, I remember leaving like, I'm glad I don't have to. You had some serious method acting moments in movies, where I'm like.
Yeah, very ace-like at that breakdown. Same location too.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. That was funny.
Yeah, yeah. What was the point of that movie? Serious question.
It didn't have to be a point, it was a character study of morality.
Dude, I watched that movie from beginning to end. I was obviously there when we shot it. I wrote it. I don't know what the point with anything we just watched.
Morality. This is a study of morality.
I don't get the point of anything we just looked at right now.
This is a movie that should be shown in churches throughout the country. Don't do this or you'll miss your wedding.
I don't get the point of anything we just looked at. I mean, was he supposed to have an arc?
I mean, it depends on the scene.
He started off in the same spot he ended.
No. He missed his wedding, dude. Like, he had a woman that he loved, and he...
No, but they broke up at the beginning, and they broke up at the end.
I can see something happening here.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I think the second scene in the movie, they broke up, and the last scene in the movie, they broke up. He had a lot of sex along the way.
Sure, but... it was an off-and-on relationship. You know, he was... struggling with his own morality and his own, you know, sexual issues.
He didn't move from point A to point B. None of the characters did.
We'll see what happens in the sequel. Let's see, you know? I want to rope people in.